Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Dr. Jim Burns and Chris Williams today. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Becky. Doing well.
Becky, good to be with you. And you know what? Our sound engineer, Terry, it's his birthday today.
It is Terry Mack's birthday, and we're celebrating all day long. And, you know, I know that all of you listeners appreciate a good sound engineer like Terry. And so we're celebrating Terry today. We're also in the month of December. If you didn't notice, we're a little about 10 days out now. So if you don't have your Christmas list fulfilled, you might be feeling a little bit of tension, feeling a little bit of pressure. You know, I learned something last night. You know, the Peanuts cartoon with Linus and Charlie Brown and all those, the Christmas one. You know where Linus, that scene where Linus reads from Luke 2? And, you know, he reads straight from Scripture. And, you know, Linus loves his security blanket. And at the moment he says, fear not, he drops his blanket. And I never noticed that before, but it's really significant. And I think in this time of the year, a lot of us are feeling like we need some security blankets, or we need some help. And, you know, especially if you're going through recovery, especially with, you know, it's party season, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of folks that are struggling with their sobriety. We've got a tip sheet, 9 tips for staying sober during the holiday season. You can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But Chris, Jim, what would you say to somebody who maybe this is their first holiday season, where they're working their recovery, they're trying to live a different life? How would you encourage them?
You know, on the tip list, number one, I think is critically important, and that's have a plan in place. And so don't wait. One of the things in recovery, if we wait to make a decision until a decision has to be made, it's too late. We have to go in with a plan. We have to know what's coming ahead of us. And I think one of the other things that's scary but essential, you need to build the muscle of advocacy. And advocacy is letting people know ahead of time that, like, just checking in, hey, you know, I'm not drinking this holiday season. You don't have to give a long explanation of that. You just say, hey, I'm taking some time off from drinking. And so, you know, is there going to be other things for me there? Or do I need to bring my own? That's having a plan going in. But don't wait till the last minute to make a decision, because addiction's too strong for that. And we have to respect powerlessness. And usually a last minute decision's not a good one when it comes to our recovery.
Wow, that's powerful. Jim, would you add anything to
that?
No,
I would just say, going right along with that, we had a party Sunday for our family, 44 people at our house, and one of my brothers is going through a recovery process, has been off and on for much of his adult life, and so we chose to have a no alcohol policy. There was no wine, anything like that, and we let everybody know, because they even bring wine to the party. And so we said, no, you know, we're going to have a no alcohol for those 2 hours. What you do afterwards, hopefully not do before, because it started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, that was a really neat thing, and everybody got behind him, even the people who were typically the people who would bring the wine. And and guess what? We had a fantastic party, and we drank Diet Coke, and we had Pellegrino and all kinds of stuff. And my brother, who I think he really appreciated that.
Let me just say this. If your drinking is at the stage where it feels like it's borderline, like maybe indulge too much, try not to use the holidays as an excuse to overindulge.
Good point, really
monitor this.
Good point, Chris.
I love that. Well, you know, we are here for you. If you are struggling with something like that, I also think that can also apply to food addiction,
yes,
you know, because we eat a lot during it. But if you want a copy of that, give us a call. But I would love for you to call us I know that there's so many of you who are struggling with stuff, and we are here for you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We have some lines open, and we're going to take your calls for the next 2 hours. We want this to be a great holiday season for you, and there may be something that we can get you started on just today and make it a reality. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We have lines available. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And by we, I mean Dr. Jim Burns and Chris Williams. And, you know, we were just following up on our, you know, recovery tips that there's so many things that are can be landmines at Christmas parties, whether it is food, drink, people, it's all of those things. Air, water, isn't that what you were saying, Jim?
Yeah, exactly. So can't talk about anything anymore.
That's right. We got to look for the places that we can connect. And we're going to connect right now. We're going to talk to Dennis, who's calling us from Nashville, Tennessee, listens on WNQM. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, I said... I ask you a question. I said, did Judah, when Jesus was predicting that he's going to be crucified, and there was one among them that is going to betray him, did he commit, did he partake on the supper before Jesus was crucified?
Okay, so Dennis, Dennis, let me see if I get this correct.
No, Davis. My name is Dennis.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Davis. Okay.
Did I say that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Davis. So,
yes.
When at the last, so if I understand this right, at the Last Supper, was Judas there, who had betrayed Jesus, partaking in the dinner with them in the Last Supper?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yes.
Well, good news.
Yes.
You have a biblical scholar here in Jim Burns who's going to answer that question.
I don't think anybody really knows, but it looks to me like that when the betrayal happened, there had already been some food passed. And, you know, the Last Supper, what we see is when Jesus is explaining what's going to take place. And, of course, that's where we get our Eucharist communion. But, you know, in that supper, there was also some other food that was going around. So it's quite possible that he did. I mean, if he chose not to eat, it was because he knew what was going on. And, you know, you go to a family meal, and this was like a family, and you don't eat. But why do you ask that question? Because I've never heard that question asked before, Dennis. What is the reason for that?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
yeah.
Yeah. So what is your answer?
Well, my answer is I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows because we obviously...
No. People know. Because if you have the Spirit of God, God will say he will teach you and guide you through all the things concerning Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So if you don't know, you should know.
Oh. Okay, well, we are so glad that you called, and we're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. I agree with what you were saying, Jim, about, you know, that we don't know all the details, and we do know that God in his grace and mercy, you know, invited Judas to be part of the disciples. And, you know, it's an interesting question. I was kind of curious, too.
The Judas question is an interesting question, but there's a lot of things that, you know, where I'm going to have to just take where I disagree a tad bit is there's a lot we don't know. I mean, we are even told in the Bible, we don't know the time or the hour when Christ returns. So there's a lot we don't know. You know, the Bible is God's word, and he doesn't fill us in that scripture on every detail. You know, the Bible doesn't tell me if I should, use Crest toothpaste or Pepsodent. And I need to pray about things and pray about all things. And I believe that sometimes the Spirit of God does give us wisdom and insight. But there are other times when simply we don't know, or he says, you're my child, and it's time for you now to make that decision. And I trust you to make the right decision. So, you know, we're not going to know everything. The scripture is not the answer all in terms of every detail of You know what I'm saying, Chris? Every detail that comes along.
And it doesn't. And it doesn't have to be. But if we really, really look at the significance of what Datus is asking is really, really important. It makes me think of Hebrews. Yeah. For we have a high priest who knows the affliction of being a human being, who has suffered the way we do. Yeah. So as we go into this holiday season, and maybe our life doesn't look like Norman Rockwell painting. It doesn't reflect a Hallmark movie. Right. And maybe it's eons away from that. Well, welcome to the first Christmas. Welcome to the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Welcome to a man who's going to break bread, wash the feet of, and serve a person who's going to betray him.
Right.
And so if for those who are going through betrayal trauma, for you have a Lord and Savior and Comforter who knows your affliction.
Right, right. And isn't it amazing when you talk about betrayal, Christ, the Son of God, you know, chose to still wash the feet of someone who was going to betray him. And so even in the even for betrayers, they need to understand that God loves them. Mm-hmm. And yet we often do, and we should. We take the side of the person who's been betrayed, and we want to help them. And that's what we do at New Life all the time in a beautiful way. But the fact of the matter is that God's love is larger and bigger and wider and deeper than we can even ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And we think about that when really here at the Christmas season, when Christ comes as a baby and has to go through all of the things that we do as humans. I mean, he probably had a headache one day. I don't know. I wasn't there. But, but you know, we don't know. But he had those kinds of things. He had, you know, there were probably, you know, some days when he woke up tired like I did this morning, whatever. But,
Well, I was going to say, Jim, I love what you said, though, that a lot of times we look to the word for direction, like specific to what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, what does the Bible, and that there are lots of great directions in it, but there's a lot of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Right. I also think that at this time of the year, we've heard the Christmas story so much that we have normalized the fact that a virgin gave birth to the Son of God.
I mean, thank you, Becky. Like we don't respect how bananas this story is. Okay, so God's plan was to impregnate an impoverished teenage girl in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right.
Homeless.
And save the world.
Right.
And save the world.
Who would become a political refugee, saving her son from a genocide. Like, that's the story.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing, it's an amazing story. And we sometimes don't get past the tinsel and the Christmas trees and even the, you know, cute little thing we see at church when, you know, we had this 2 weeks ago where, you know, little cute little girl and the little baby and the dad, Joseph, you know, kind of walk in and we just went, ooh, ah. But in reality, what you just said, Chris, is that's radical to the max.
Yes.
And there could have been other ideas, and that's why God's omnipresent and omnipotent, and we're not.
But this Christmas season, whether we are the betrayed or the betrayer or both, I think the point that we're landing on is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God is with us. Beautiful. That's the point.
That's a great reminder this morning.
All right. Well, we are going to continue taking calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And I think we're going to try and talk to Lisa, who's calling us from Atlanta, Georgia. I can't get – there you go. Hi, Lisa. How are you? I'm glad you called. How can we help you?
Hi. I was calling – this is my question. My question is, what do I do with the emotions that I feel with an online relationship, and I think I'm being catfished, if you know what that means?
Yep.
And so what do you do with the emotions?
Emotions are very, very caught up. Emotionally with this guy, and I don't think he's who he says he is, but I don't even know what to do with this. I'm just very confused.
Well, we're glad you called. Chris, why don't you start and give us a brief description of catfishing or catfished so that the audience knows?
Well, let me start here. Catfishing and gaslighting are very, very similar.
Yes.
And so they're two terminologies that need definition because they're otherwise they're very unhelpful. And let me start with the definition. It's that when the reality that we sit in front of us is changed by somebody else in a manipulative and dangerous way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say about that, Lisa, is that who you end up betraying inadvertently is yourself. And because you start questioning, you said, my emotions, my gut feelings, mm-hmm. all of those sort of things. And this guy's telling me one thing and another thing. So the best thing and the first thing, it's simple, but it's hard. You need to get out of it as quickly as humanly possible.
Mm. I know, and that's my issue. I can't seem to get out of it. I keep cutting it off and going back.
Okay, so I love that you're saying that. So that struggle. What the question for you is, what is he providing for me that I need to find somewhere else?
All the things that I want to hear, all the things that I never got in a relationship. That's what he's providing. That's what keeps me going back.
That's the hook. Yeah.
I think what's hard about it, Lisa, also, is that he's not real. In a catfish situation, in fact, there was one in the national news in the last couple of weeks where a man who was an adult pretended he was 17, and he actually came out to California from Virginia, and he had been in a relationship with a 15-year-old, different than yours. But what the 15-year-old thought was that this was a real 17-year-old who was, you know, just saying she was beautiful and wonderful and on and on. She fell in love with a non-real person. Mm. So, you know, the nature of a catfish is that this is not a real person. It's just like pornography in many ways. That's not real sex, okay? Mm-hmm. So with this relationship, he's meeting a need, but he's not real. He has other motives, and he truly is not. If you were sitting face to face, he's not going to look like he says he looks. He's not going to probably be the age he says he looks. I mean, you don't know anything about him. And so what I would add to Chris's, because Chris is so right, you've got to ask that question. If he's meeting some of those needs, then I would find at least one person or a couple of people and have them help you be held accountable to not be in relationship. You know, and I know it's not easy just to stop a relationship that's actually meeting a need of yours, but this is look at where it's going to go, and it's not going to go well. You know, they say play the movie forward. This movie doesn't end well for you. And you know, I would find accountability with people who would say, hey, how did you do today? And if you stumbled, then you stumbled. But then know that the next day they're going to be right with you, cheering you on to not have that relationship.
And Lisa, I'm going to give you a new primary task in your life. I want you to build a tribe of women around you to give you those words that you need to hear. I want you to find that in a non-romantic, non-sexual way in which you need to hear those words. If I can tell on myself, a few months ago I was actually driving down here to the studio, and I was having a really insecure moment, and I was feeling really unsettled in the world, and I needed reassurance, and I called a buddy of mine, and I told him, and I said, hey, you need to tell me something good about me. 1, 2, 3, go. And he laughed, and he did. He told me something good about myself, but then he dug in a little bit, and we were able to work through something that I was carrying that I needed to offload. So and so this idea that words of affirmation, words that breathe life into us, that provide us our value, and words of love, they're not a luxury. They're a necessity. And our heart is going to find them. And we've got to be very, very careful and diligent about the sources of those, obviously coming from God himself and healthy people around us.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, go ahead.
This is the thing. I have an adult daughter that's very smart, very astute, everything. She's my accountability person. The thing about having women around me, I have plenty of those. Only thing, and I'm a leader. I have my own ministry. This is the craziest part, too. I have my own ministry. I have sons and daughters in ministry that are very affirming to me, so on and so forth. Thing about telling them, any of them about it, number one, I'm a leader. I don't want to do that. And the other thing is I'm embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I know this is stupid.
Well, Lisa, Lisa, hold on. You can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, but we're going to come back because what you just exposed is really a powerful point, and I think that we can get you some help for that. We're still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000, but we're going to go back with Lisa after this break. You know, maybe this is a challenge that you're having as well. You can give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. And, you know, if you've ever wondered if you're truly emotionally free, we have an online two-minute quiz that you can take. Go to newlife.com and you can click the link. The Emotional Freedom Workshop is right around the corner in January, and we want to help you get emotionally free. Right now, we're talking with Lisa, who revealed one problem but then connected it to another one. And I know, Chris, you and Jim both have some great insights that you're going to share with Lisa.
Yeah. Lisa, right at the very end of before the break, you mentioned that, you know, it's hard to confess because it is embarrassing. I mean, it is. I mean, I'm embarrassed when I have to confess anything to anybody because I want people around me, because I'm a Christian leader, to think that I'm cool and groovy all the time, and I'm not. And so I had to find people. And for me, to be honest, it wasn't within the church. When I was in pastoral ministry, it wasn't within the church. It was outside the church where I found, you know, some wonderful believers. I've been in a small group for 21 years with people who kind of aren't, we don't go to the same church. But what I found, and I know you can identify with this because you probably taught on it, it sounds like, is when we confess, there is healing. You know, that's scriptural, as you well know, in James and other places. So in our confession comes healing. So yeah, you have your daughter who's around you, you have others who are around you, but sometimes those are the hardest people to confess to. And I'm not saying we don't at times, but I'm saying find someone who is absolutely safe for you. The people who I know who do the best in ministry, they are people who did what Chris did, you know, when we were talking to you, and he said, hey, I called my friend and I said, I'm feeling a little vulnerable. Tell me something, right? So in some ways, that was confession. Mm-hmm. Find people who are outside of that sphere, if you would, at the beginning, and do that. And then again, what I'm seeing in today's world with Christian leaders is that the Christian leaders who are the most, really, I think the most valuable are the people who are authentic and mm-hmm. real. And you don't have to share every dirty war story at all, but you can say, hey, you know, I have some vulnerabilities. And yeah. when you share that you're only blessing others because they go, now I identify with Lisa. I thought she was perfect, right?
That's right.
But find people who, you know, in that place. And if you need to rent a person, then I tell every Christian leader I know to make sure that they're in good counseling relationship. Mm-hmm. And yeah. the reason I say that is because there's probably some things you could learn in therapy that could help you understand why do you have this need on the catfish side? What is that side of yours? Go ahead.
I understand why. After praying and trying to just get through this and going back and forth, I've been abandoned many times
yes.
in my life. And
yep.
so I whittled it down to that. You know, I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want that feeling yes. of abandonment again.
Yes,
that's what I think it is for me.
Well, and Lisa, we would go even a step further, and that abandonment, people leaving you, has put an imprint in your heart and your life that I refer to as an organizing principle. Pain creates an organizing principle, and the principle typically in our pain is called shame, a negative belief about mm-hmm. ourselves. That you're unworthy, you're unlovable, you're not good enough. And so this person on the other side of the catfish holds the bag of your worth. And that's why you've got to separate. Yes, that's why it's like, nope, I'm going to give the bag of your destruction back to you, and I'm going to go take this bag somewhere else, trusting that I'm going to find safer, more godly, more, as I say, infinite ways to discover my worth. And that is hard work. And also in that healing part of it, that is so important. Yeah, continuing to get into a therapeutic process, because you need, you deserve, you're worthy of healing. Mm-hmm. And in that, our story, I'm just going to share this really quickly. Like, God has blessed me with a little bit of gifting in my vocation, and it's great. But I'm telling you, oftentimes when I'm working out of my gifting, it feels temporal. when I'm working out of more of my holy brokenness that God is working in, it feels more eternal. You know, back to what Henry Nouwen was talking about years ago about the wounded healer. Yeah. It's that God works through our broken places, I think, much more deeply than he works through our gifted places.
I love that. Well, I hope that that helps you, Lisa. We're going to send you a copy of People Fuel. John talks about creating that team. And it's ironic because you started with one issue, but it's really part of a bigger story. And I think that's what Chris and Jim are saying. And we're so glad you called. We are still taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. But right now we are going to talk with Tanya, who's calling us from San Antonio, Texas, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Tanya. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. I just would kind of like to have some advice. My 34-year-old daughter, she is 4 years recovered drug addict, and I basically raised her kids. She's being a good mom, but her and her kids are still living in my house. I'm tired of it. My husband's tired of it. We can't get her to move on.
Well, there's a bigger story there, I think, Tanya, and you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break in just a minute, but you know, it is a challenge. I'm sure you have tried some things, and we'll look forward to hearing some of that afterwards. So, you know, if you do have challenges, there is help, but it takes a lot of steps to get there. And I think sometimes when we get to a breaking point, it's like we just want it to be done. And we, you know, we struggle in that tension so many times. If you are struggling with something, whether it's, you know, like I said at the top of the segment, we were talking about emotional freedom. You know, that is a place that's an online workshop that we're going to have in January that can help you get moving in forward motion. And Tanya, we're going to hear more about the challenges that you're having with your daughter. We're celebrating her recovery, but we'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Yes, we are still taking your calls. We do have lines available at 1-800-229-3000. But right now we are talking with Tanya, whose daughter is 4 years into her recovery. And Tanya, you've been very supportive, but now it's time for her to fly, right?
Yes. And now.
To fly.
And what?
Oh, I said hands down.
Oh, hands down. Yes, yes.
You're done. Okay, we hear you, Tanya. Well, Chris, where would you like to start this conversation?
Yes, you know, the number one emotional driver of addiction is fear, and that's oftentimes what. At the very base level, what our addictive devices, whatever they may be, the behaviors or the substances, are trying to soothe. When they're gone, guess what we have? A lot of fear. And if we haven't gone into the work to start resolving some of the things that drive the fear and starting to work through some of those fears, we get trapped in paralysis. And it just sounds like where your daughter is at. And she may have a lot of circumstances around her, children to take care of, an economic situation that can be overwhelming, whatever the case may be. But I really think that it would be really beneficial if your daughter was able to get hooked up with one of New Life's coaching.
That's a great idea.
Because oftentimes this is a great coaching that can help them put together a plan and a process, as well as work through some of their own barriers and fear barriers to develop a life on their own, a life outside of your home, Tanya. And that might be a great place to start with your daughter. I'm sure there's going to need to be boundaries put in place as well, but that's where I would start.
Well, I also wonder, Chris, you just said something. I wonder if Tanya has some fear.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I want to speak to Tanya. You know, Tanya, we'll take care of your daughter by doing that coaching. For one thing, I'm going to give you, I do this ever so often here on New Life, I'm going to give you the New Life star on your lapel, because what you've done to serve your daughter and those grandchildren. And please know, you know, you're changing potentially the trajectory of their life because of the sacrifice that you and your husband have made. So way to go. Thank you. Now, you used a word that you said your daughter is recovered. And actually, Becky used a word, recovering. And that's a really important word, because when somebody is an addict, they're in a process of recovery for the rest of their life. So your daughter, obviously, as you can tell, because she's living with you, she doesn't have it all together. But I want to focus on you. The question I want you to ask is, and for you and your husband, are you enabling dependency? By enabling dependency, because for a long time, the difference between help and enabling means that you were helping your daughter because she was an addict and you were taking care of the kids and you truly were a godsend, and you are a godsend. But when you get to a place and you're enabling dependency, that means that she's still in the house. You said she doesn't want to leave. Well, you own the house, you and your husband. She's now recovering, so it's time to develop that exit strategy, and you do that with a coach or you do that with somebody else. But together, people help support what they help create, so you want your daughter to be a part of this, but what's her exit strategy? It may not be in the heat of the battle, you don't want to kick her out tomorrow. So what you want to do is you want to have an exit strategy plan, because that's going to help her become a responsible adult, because frankly, addicts aren't responsible adults until they start the recovering process, and then they surely can be. And those kids, those grandkids, they need it. But because you're so tired of her, now it's not going to work unless you develop that exit strategy. And that exit strategy, by the way, may be 3 months, it may be 6 months. But if she's in on that strategy, then you can kind of cheer that part on. But, you know, she probably does need to exit here within the next 3 to 6 months.
I love that. Oh, and the quote really of the good. Day is, people help support what they help create. Yeah. That's great, Jim. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible, Tanya. But also we're going to connect you with one of our coaches, because I do think that was a great idea to Chris, because we do need help getting that forward motion. So we're glad you called, Tanya, and I hope that that helps. Right now we're going to go to Debbie, who's calling us on from Sirius XM, listens on Sirius XM. I'll get back to the radio here in a second. And is from La Plata, Maryland. Debbie, how can we help you today?
Oh, hi. I've been married to my husband, who I believe is probably a narcissist, about 15 years. We divorced once, remarried again. And he's started drinking again, and the emotional abuse is just becoming overwhelming. But things just got really worse of the last, I would say, year and a half. I'm a nurse, and I was blessed and fortunate enough to get a award to finish a doctorate degree, which I think I pursued probably because I wanted something to help make me feel better about myself, because my self-esteem is so low. And, you know, things seem to get worse between us after I started the program. It's a virtual online program. I do it from home. And, you know, things have happened for me, you know, the award and just being able to maintain what I need to maintain. We have a home, I had a home, and he had a home, and then he sold his home. He gave me half of the proceeds from the sale of the house, which was about $16,000. I put his name on the house that we now live in.
Hey, Debbie. Debbie, let me jump in.
Yeah.
Because you're in a rough situation. If there is one question that we could help you with today, what would that be?
I don't know what to do. Is it time for me to leave? I don't know.
Yeah. So he's in his addiction. He's mm-hmm. verbally abusive.
Yes.
I can
and mean and controlling.
Yes, you know? And we are 3,000 miles apart, and I can feel the stress and the pressure and the chaos inside of you. And mm-hmm. here you are, a faithful, smart, incredibly gifted woman. Beyond that, obviously for all of us, cherished and invaluable in God's eyes. And this man doesn't know what to do with that. And my guess is he's not the first. I think there's other people in your life that didn't know what to do with this incredible person named Debbie. And so in that, it's time for you to get safe. It's actually a little bit overdue, so that you can be released to continue building this remarkable life that you're building. Now, in that, obviously, we want your husband to be able to get the help that he needs. But here's the kicker. The only way that that will ever be effective is if he wants to get help. And so it may be that putting together a plan that looks like, hey, I need you to go to treatment. If you're unwilling to go to treatment, I'm going to have to file for a legal separation and move out and figure out these next steps.
Okay.
And with that, is that your heart is in a meat grinder right now. So you're going to need a lot of love and a lot of support. And so I would mm-hmm. love for you to get into a recovery process.
Yeah. We can get you connected, Debbie, to a life recovery group. I agree with that idea, Chris, because what's happening, Debbie, is you're trying to show us, tell us your value when we know it. We see it. Mm-hmm. We hear it. And I think a recovery group will be the next right step for you, and we'll get you connected. We'll send you a Life Recovery Bible as well. You know, it seems like it would be a marital thing, but what happens in marriage is it's the people that are in it and the struggles that we have. And so we hope that something will help you get moving forward. And if that sounds like your relationship, you can call us 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we're going to hear a little bit from Steve. He's not here, but he left us a message that he wants to share with you.
Steve Arterburn here, and I want to be sure that you know what your generosity is doing at New Life. Jerrica says this Christmas is going to be different because I have my family now. In my active addiction, no one wanted to be around me. Now, my family has forgiven me and supports me. They've seen the change. That's what you support. Radical, transformational change.
And that's what we're all about here at New Life. We're so grateful for all you who are giving to the ministry, are part of Club New Life, which help us get the message out to help people like Jerrica or like Debbie or anybody that's calling today, or so many people who call us each and every day for help and hope. You can be part of that. You know, we're incredibly encouraged by those who give to the ministry, because we know that it says that you believe in what we're doing, that you want to help people find a new life, a transformed life, and we're here for that. And if you want to give, you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can call us 1-800-229-3000 if you want to ask us a question. You can also go to newlife.com and click the donate button and give that way. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad that you're with us today. We are still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We have some lines open, and we're going to talk for the next hour with you folks, and we want to help you in any way we can. We're going to go to Lizza right now, who's calling us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listens to us on the internet, and we're glad you called. Lizza, how can we help you today?
Hi, it's Liza.
Okay, Liza, thanks for the correction. Thank you. How can we help you, Liza?
All right. So my situation is similar to Debbie, the previous caller, where the husband doesn't know what to do with you. except that my husband is just passive aggressive, and he doesn't have visible substance abuses like that. Anyway, so what my question is, would I be jeopardizing or delaying my chances of improving the marriage if I give in to his current plan? Okay, so his current plan is for me to meet up with him in his home country where we have lived before, but this time he just took off, not really inviting me or planning the, you know, the move.
Okay, well, Liza, do you know, like, have you talked to him? Like, are you guys having communication?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And you just haven't talked about why he left without inviting you?
Correct, we have not.
Okay, well, Jim, let's start with you.
Well, Liza, it sounds like you've got some conversation to do before you can even make a decision, because we need to get enough information, or you need to get enough information, and, you know, the red flags or very strong yellow flags are rising everywhere for me when you said he left without talking to you. Now, mm-hmm. you're married to him, so that makes it, you know, a really difficult situation. But I feel like you have to be able to at least trust his answer on that. And if you don't have that answer, I wouldn't be picking up and moving, frankly, until I knew what was going to go on. What's the plan? You know, Chris has talked today even about with some others about a plan. And I would want to know what his plan was. And if that plan didn't make sense to you. Now, I'm curious to know why you all haven't had that conversation, Liza. Why haven't you said to him, why did you do that?
I don't know. I think I've lost my voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he left for supposedly a good reason, because the sister was dying, but he knew she was out of intensive care and even out of hospital before he left.
Right.
But he still left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, he tries to let me know that he wants me there. I mean, he just vaguely said, oh, see you soon. Oh, renew your passport. You know, but he just,
Liza,
my
concern actually is very, very basic, to be honest. It's very elementary. And what I mean by that mm-hmm. is that I'm not sure you and your husband even know what it means to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage mm-hmm. is about building a common life together. It's maybe mm-hmm. God's most profound commission of creativity. And it requires two people bringing themselves to the table in this very connected way that are going to create something together. I'm going to go off on a little bit of rabbit trail. I believe that Genesis 2 gives us the clue to human flourishing, and it's bearing the image of God. And when God creates human beings, there's two things that emerge. He creates them as deeply relational beings, connected. And he also commissions them as creative beings. And when those two things activate together, creation flourishes. Human beings flourish at the intersection of great relating and great creating, and my fear for you is you have neither in your marriage. And so mm-hmm. it goes...
Yeah, he basically ignores me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think mm-hmm. that there is some...
You know, do I want more of that over there?
I hope your answer would be an emphatic no, And mm-hmm. I think your work is, what do I need relationally and what do I want creatively? What do I want to make of my life, and who do I want to be and who do I want to do that with?
I wonder too, Liza, how long have you guys been married?
Yeah. 40 years.
Whoa.
Okay.
How long has this been going on?
Well, and it's, I would think from the beginning. Is it, Liza, from the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man. Okay, Liza, that's a lot.
Was it a cultural expectation, though, Liza? You said that you lived in that country with him, that you were supposed to not have a voice. Is that what happened?
Culture is kind of like that, yes.
Okay. So getting into that connection, like Chris is talking about, is going to be, you know, one step at a time after 40 years of this is how we do life together.
Mm, yeah.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible. Mm-hmm. But you're going to need some support around you. And I'm kind of curious if you've worked with a counselor in marriage or just even individually.
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that might really be step one.
Hey, Liza, I want to encourage you to talk with a counselor. You know, if you had some kind of a physical ailment, you'd go to the doctor. If you needed some help with some big financial questions or a tax problem or something, of course, you're going to go to a specialist. What I have found is that with a counselor or a coach, they can help you get to the deep issues. You know, obviously, we're just having a short conversation with you. But if you sat with somebody knee to knee, face to face, and you started sharing your story, they're going to be impressed that you've persevered for 40 years if this has been what the relationship is. But also what they can do is they can help you make a plan for your future. You're the one who has to make that decision, but that person has the skills to help you do that. So I think one of the greatest investments of, and I know it costs some money, but of time, especially your time, is to get prepared for what's going to happen in the next 40 years. And and to do that, I would not go much farther without getting the help of someone who's an authority who can help you. They're not going to tell you what to do, but they're going to tell you how you can come up with that plan and empower you, because you sound like an amazing person, but you've got a lot of issues. And there's probably some cultural issues in there that we haven't really spoken about, too. That could be the elephant in the room.
That's right. Well, and Liza, we're going to get you connected with a counselor. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love, which I think could also help you kind of connect the dots. And, you know, we believe that there is hope. Even though there's been 40 years of history, you know, God can do amazing things. And we'll just be praying for that counseling to be the next right step. And can't wait to see how that will work out. And we are here for you if you need some more help on that. We're so glad that you called today. We have some folks that are waiting online, and we're going to get to your call, so don't hang up. You know, New Life exists to help people find God's plan for their life. You know, there's so many things that can disrupt that in our lives, whether it's relationship, addiction, it could be depression, it could be lots of different things. But, you know, there is a plan forward, and we are there for you. If you need help, you can call us, 1-800-229-3000 is where we're taking our calls. But you can also call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we've got help for you. We want you to have the life that God planned for you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Chris. If you're waiting online, they're going to be here, and you can know that you're going to get some wisdom in our next segment. God bless you, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.